Sounds good. Grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. On behalf of the staff, session, and members, we'd like to welcome you to Cook's Church. We're delighted that you're here with us this morning to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. I have several announcements to make before we get started. First and foremostly, just want to thank the preschool or the play school parents for being here with us today. We appreciate it. We're looking forward to hearing your children sing for us at the offertory, and so we're just delighted that you are here with us this morning. But more than that, we're delighted that you entrust us with your children. We believe we have a great staff, great leadership, and great people, and it's just a delight to see the kids turning out year after year, such grand examples of followers of Jesus Christ. It is hardly, and what a great history it has, it's hardly a month that goes by that I don't meet someone who is a Cook's Play School alumni. They're all over the place, so the legacy is being felt. So thank you again for joining us this morning. Cook's session will meet tonight at 7 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. Choir members, please note there's no rehearsal this Wednesday night. We'll collect the 10 cents a meal offering next Sunday during worship. Our youth group is going to meet again next Sunday, April 30th. Clayton talked to y'all about it. It's a special time, not only for our youth, but for others. Clayton and I, as you know, participate in a ministry known as Kairos. We go into the Kershaw Correctional Institution, a prison in South Carolina, to take a spiritual retreat to the residents there, and we do it about twice a year. But part of that package is that we come into the prison with a boatload of cookies, and preferably homemade cookies. You'd be amazed at what a pound of butter, flour, sugar, and eggs can do to open up the hearts and minds of people that are in a relatively hopeless place. So we encourage and invite you to either attend that event where we're going to be baking the cookies and packing them, or you can bake your and pack your own cookies, or even still, you can sign up and bring cookies that are store-bought or bring them to us in a couple of weeks. There is a sign-up sheet in the back of the narthex. If you'd look for it on your way out, we'd appreciate it. It's almost that time of year again, graduation. If you have a son or daughter that's graduating from high school or college this spring, please contact the church office immediately. Please note, our office manager will be out of the office this week. We'll have someone in the office Monday through Thursday from 9 a.m. to noon. So if you need something this week, please call during those times or, of course, always reach me on my cell. Congratulations to James and Kay Harper on their wedding last Saturday, April 15th. May God bless their marriage with many years of happiness and love. The beautiful flowers in our sanctuary this morning are in honor of Dwight and Diane Black for their birthdays. We love you from their children and grandson, Lindsay, Dan, Hayden, Darren, and Laura. The rose on the altar this morning is to say congratulations to Rachel and Austin Miles on the birth of their son, Levi Greer, on Monday, April 17th. Levi weighed 6.14 pounds and was 19 and a quarter inches. Mike and Dina Stanford are the grandparents, and Vera and Jim Smith are the great-grandparents. May God bless this family with many years of good health, happiness, and love. Those are the announcements that I have. Are there any other announcements that need to be brought before the congregation before we have our moment for mission? Yes.
2 weeks from this Sunday, there's going to be a birthday party for the Presbyterian women. I'd like to extend an invitation to every woman in this congregation, whether you belong to the church or not, because we're going to have fun, and I would love to share our fellowship with everybody. There's going to be entertainment. There's going to be a mystery guest. There's going to be live music. And there's going to be ice cream and cake. What else at a birthday party? So join us. Women, talk to your husbands now. This is an all-girl party. So see if the guys will take care of the kids or grandma or somebody. Not grandma. She should come too. But you're welcome.
Okay. Any others?
Oh, it's at 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
May 7th.
Any other announcements? All right, well, we're delighted to hear from our speaker on Moment for Mission.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Jambo. That's hello in Kenyan, in Swahili. We are leaving tomorrow morning for our annual mission trip to Kajiata Children's Home, and we are so excited. This past week, we packed approximately 450 pounds of donated goods that we've been gathering actually since COVID, because we hadn't had a chance to get it over there. We hadn't had a mission team this large. So we're very excited. We've been the last 2 years, but this year we have 10 people going, and the next mission trip is scheduled for June of 2024. So if you're interested, see me. The projects this coming week, there are many, but one of the most important is the groundbreaking ceremony, as we will be building a primary school on the campus of the Children's Home. So we're very excited and very thankful to God that he has led us in this direction. But the most important thing that we'll be doing is playing with the kids. Kajiata Children's Home currently supports about 105 children. We have been involved in this church since 2008. We formed a 501c3 in 2014, and so we're able to coordinate all of the donations coming in from our other church partners. We have been blessed to add three new church partners this year, one being Paul Creek in Paul Creek Presbyterian Church, just recently. And so if you're visiting and you're from that church, you can be very proud of your church as well. So please pray for us as we travel. We will be spending about 2 weeks there and holding not only the groundbreaking ceremony, the playing with the children, but we're also holding a career and college planning workshop for our high school students. So please keep all of those things in your prayers, and we appreciate it very much. And we'll see you when we get back.
You ready to pray? Just you? Yeah.
You want to call the others?
We'd like to invite all the members of the mission trip to come forward. We're going to commission them now. What a great joy it is to see y'all this morning and to know that this church and many others are contributing to do the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we remember in the book of Acts, Jesus says to the gathered apostles and disciples that you will be my witnesses to the very ends of the earth. And though I know it's not the very ends of the earth, we might be to them. It sure seems like going that far is really a good distance away. And we rejoice that the Holy Spirit has come into your hearts and minds and has lifted them to the place where you want to be doing and responding to God's will. And so we would like to pray for you and send you with blessings. Let us pray. Gracious and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just praise and bless your holy and everlasting name, knowing that it was you who created us, you who have redeemed us in Jesus Christ, and you who sustain us through the power of your Holy Spirit. Gracious God, we pray and thank you for the role of the Holy Spirit leading this mission team to the Kajiado Children's Home in Kenya. We pray, Heavenly Father, first and foremostly, that their travels would be safe ones and good, easy ones. Allow their journey to be filled with good times and good spirits. But most importantly, Father God, let their work there be productive and fruitful. Allow them to continue sowing the seeds of your gospel so that others may come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Protect them. Be with the children's home as they continue to nurture over 105 children, O Lord. We thank you for the many hands and many dollars that make this ministry possible. Gracious God, thank you again for this wonderful opportunity for leading these disciples of yours to follow you to the very ends of the earth. Gracious God, we make these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. Amen. Thank you.
Happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord.
Happy are those who keep his decrees, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways.
You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently.
Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes, and I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on your commandments.
Let us pray. Gracious and eternal God, you have given yourself to us in the person of Jesus Christ. We have his example of loving ministry as a guide for our lives. We stand as people forgiven and reconciled to you. Be with us this day, reminding us that you are always near. Guide our lives, just as you guided those travelers to Emmaus many years ago. For we ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. After the resurrection, Jesus Christ came to the disciples, and showing them his hands and his side, he said to them, "Peace be with you." Soon thereafter, he said to the gathered apostles and disciples that as the Father has sent me, so now I send you. In celebration of that sending of out into the world for the peace of Christ, we celebrate the peace of Christ by passing it now.
Take a while. It may take a long while, I know.
John teaches us that if we say that we have no sin, that we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But it goes on to tell us that if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us of any and all unrighteousness. It's in this vein we come to our time of our prayer of confession, in which we lift up corporately words to God, expressing our penitence and our sorrow at our sin, expecting not to find his condemnation, but instead being grasped by his magnificent and amazing grace. So I invite you to now join with me in our prayer of confession found in this morning's bulletin. O Father, we are gathered before you, the maker of heaven and earth, whose chosen place is with the broken and contrite, to confess that we have sinned in thought and word and deed. We have not loved you with all our heart and soul. We have not loved you with all our mind and strength. We have not even loved our neighbor as ourselves. Purge us from selfishness, the fear of man, and the love of praise. In your mercy, deepen our sorrow for the wrong we have done and for the good we have left undone, so that we may hate our sin with a holy hatred. But please, Father, do not leave us in sorrow. With you, O Lord, there is forgiveness. In your mercy, restore the joy of our salvation, so that we may love you with a holy love. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Friends, I want to declare to you the great good news revealed in Scripture, that Jesus Christ in the fullness of time came, took flesh, suffered and died for us and for our salvation. So hear the good news declared. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven forever and ever. Amen. Christianity is an ancient faith, and through the years there have been utterances and declarations, confessions and creeds that were written in order to provide us guidance on who it is we worship and what it is we as Christians believe. So this morning in our affirmation for faith, we'll use the Apostles' Creed, an ancient creed written by the church declaring the love of God, the forgiveness of sinners, and the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. So join me as we make this declaration. The words are found in this morning's bulletin as well. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated and join me in our second hymn, number 234.
He is Lord, he is Lord, he is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus.
this point, we'd like to invite the children to come forward and have a seat here for a time that's just for them.
Oh, I love seeing all these cute children, a lot from play school. Thank you so much for being here today. How many of you went to Cook's Play School when you were your sister's or brother's age? Oh, good for you. Good for you. A lot of you. Well, I want to tell you about another school, and we love Cook's Play School. We're always so happy to have you all here. But you heard Gay talking about going to Kenya. Well, we know of a school over in Kenya that also has children the same age as your brothers and sisters that are going to be singing, and also the same age as some of you. So I want to tell you a little bit about them. And when brothers and sisters from play school sing, we're going to video that so that we can take it to Kenya and show them how we sing here. And then Gay will tape something that they sing over there and bring it back so that you can see it. But I want to show you a picture. These are some children that live or have lived at the children's home. They are orphans. They don't have parents. But they have this wonderful home to live in. And they go to school. They have church. They get fed. They have meals. They have fun. And they love to sing. I've been over there several times, and I hope to go again next year. The school is called the Kajiado Pre-Primary School. And so they are about the same age as the kids that are in our play school. Okay? I was going to have them sing, but we're going to just record them as they sing this morning. Anyway, it's a wonderful place, and I know that we'll be praying for all those children over there and praying for you. Will you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for play school. And thank you for Kajiado. We love all children.
We love all children.
And we're so grateful that you're here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming up.
Our special This Music is continuing in this Easter season because He is risen, and we celebrate that every day of our lives, the joy of knowing Christ, the joy of the blessing, the joy of life eternal. So we continue to sing today. This song is called Sing to the King.
Thank you. sing to the King. Come, let us sing a song.
Come now into a time of reading and proclaiming God's word, and we do so as always, beginning with a prayer for illumination. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, speak to us afresh, O Lord. Allow your words to fall on the fertile ground of our hearts and minds so that we might hear those words that we need to hear, so that we can do those things you would have us do in this your world. We make these prayers to you in the strong name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning, friends. We're going to be reading scripture today from Psalm 116, and you can find it on page 605 in your pew Bible. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore, I said, I am greatly afflicted, and in my dismay, I said, all men are liars. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord.
Our New Testament reading comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, and it comes after the resurrection. This is the very first days, let's consider it, after Jesus Christ has emerged from the tomb. His emergence from the tomb is known to some, but still unknown to others. And these men that we're going to meet on the road to Emmaus, they're unaware that Jesus is raised, but they know something's at foot. So I invite you to hear this rather lengthy reading of our word. I'll read Luke 24, verses 13 through 35. I invite you now to hear the word of our Lord. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went to them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was one, the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were there at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who had said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, Stay with us, for it is toward the evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on this road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, it was a lot of years ago, but I was fortunate enough to work at a radio station. I was selling radio time at the time, not that I was selling radios. I was working in the advertising department of a radio station and was selling ad time for them. It was during those days that things were kind of lean. We had just gotten started, and we didn't have any ratings like they would have on television. There's Arbitron ratings for people in radio. But we didn't have any of those. And so that meant that the number of people who would really talk to us as salespeople was very small. We had really, at the very beginning, only a handful of bars and a couple of car dealerships that were on board with us. And although that's a nice thing to have, it was not enough to run an entire station on. We needed more advertisers if we were going to make it. And so a plan was hatched. The plan was we were going to have a sales contest, only this one wasn't going to be for individual sales. It was a group and cumulative effort. It was amazing to see. Every morning we would gather together and get to total up, tally up kind of what we had done. And those mornings where we had done really well and were getting closer to our goal, man, did the spirit of cooperation and fellowship just kind of exude in the room, and we were all one as one team. But on those days where we didn't have a lot to report, where there weren't very many sales, well, things were a different order of things. We were a little snarly, a little churlish and a little snarly with one another, that kind of thing. I read about something similar this past week that happens to mountain climbers. Apparently, mountain climbers that are attempting to summit really high peaks when they go as a team. When you can see the top, the trudge is easier. It's when the top or the goal is obscured by clouds that you become downtrodden, and it becomes a more difficult thing to keep climbing. We meet a couple of people today who, it's safe to say at the beginning, don't see the goal. They're obscured from the peak because, as we know, they've seen the events that have happened in Jerusalem in the last several days. These men, as we know very little about them, we do know that they were with Jesus as he taught and led, as well as with him till the very end. That means they would have seen both sides of the spectrum. They would have seen the amazing events that Jesus Christ was able to do. I mean, I can hardly imagine it myself. Can you imagine seeing water turned into wine? Can you imagine what it would have been like to see just a few simple loaves of bread multiplied so that an entire audience of more than 5,000 people was fed? Can you imagine what it must have been like to be standing there at the tomb of Lazarus, to hear Jesus summon him, and then to see Lazarus return from even death? The amazement with which these men had lived their lives would certainly have filled them with the kind of hope that would have been hard to quench. But then something happened, didn't it? We know that because of a corrupt temple group as well as others, that Jesus was taken to the Romans and false charges were given to them concerning sedition and his attempt to lead the nation away from Rome. They were false charges, we remember. But they were charges, nevertheless, that the Romans had to take action on. And so they did, and they had Jesus condemned to die. So these gentlemen, these men who had seen the amazing healings, the amazing multiplication of food, the resurrection of Lazarus, now had to contend with something else entirely. They had to contend with seeing their teacher and their prophet crucified. But before that, they would have likely seen him mocked, would have seen him stripped, would have seen him whipped and scourged, would have seen a spear poked in his side. They would have seen perhaps the very end where Jesus utters those words, "It is finished," and then departs to death. They would have felt their hope in that day slipping away. They would have been hopeless. Now, I don't know, I hope not too many of you understand the nature of hopelessness, but when it comes, it is devastating. It can feel very much like a wet blanket, literally putting the damper on anything good that comes into your life. When we're hopeless, it can feel like the weight of the world is on our shoulders and there's absolutely nothing or no one that can help us. And it is a terrible, terrible feeling. And so I imagine as these men were walking, you know, their hopes were that Jesus was going to liberate Israel from the Romans. And yet as they're walking back to Emmaus, they begin their somber journey back there. We don't know explicitly why these men were on the road to Emmaus, but I've got to imagine that what they're doing is returning home. Home is where you go when a grand scheme fails, which is exactly what it would have felt like that day, to see the plans of the restored Israel seemingly dashed at the cross there of Jesus Christ. We don't know why they're headed, but like I said, we can probably assume they're heading home with difficult words. Can you imagine how hard it would have been to say to your friends and families, "Yeah, you know that Jesus guy, we sure thought a lot of him, but he's not with us anymore." It would have required some tough words, but it could have been done. But there these men are, trudging their way back to their destinies. But that wasn't the end of the story, because there was an encounter that happened. And this isn't an encounter like running into your buddy at the Harris Teeter or anything like that. This is a life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ, as they all tend to be. Jesus Christ comes into their midst. He doesn't identify himself, which is interesting, because we would think at this point that Jesus would want others to know what had happened. But he stays silent, giving us pause to think about why. Why does he not mention himself to these men? And the only answer I can think of is that something needed to be revealed first. And what Jesus had to reveal were the scriptures to them so that they could see with their own eyes what it was that he had done and was doing. These men, these ones that had seen the highs and lows of the days with Jesus Christ, would have felt the experience of seeing hopelessness become hope again as Jesus Christ met them right where they are. Jesus Christ is the one that takes initiative with us, could be another way of saying this. Every time that we cry out to God, it's actually the Spirit of God crying out, "Abba, Father," within us. That is to say that God makes the first move to us, and we don't make the first move to God. That's why Freddie last 2 weeks ago in our Moment for Mission talked about the fact that there are only two kinds of religions in this world. There's the religion of human achievement, which tell us that what we do earns our way into heaven or to God's good graces. It's by our actions that we're saved. And then there's one that focuses instead on the grace of the Lord and what God has done in Jesus Christ to save us from the depths of our sin and depravity. The Christian religion is based on the premise that God acts and that we receive. It's a difference than others. The others tend to think we act and then God gives. But it's an inversion that's important as we consider the meaning of the Christian faith. We know that we serve and worship a living God. And that is a great good news. Because I can't even imagine how difficult it would be to wake up every day and to find yourself with nothing but an idol of some manufacturer to worship. Whether it be some god of wood or stone, or maybe it would be some other kind of god. Maybe it would be the gods of wealth or money or fame. Things that we worship so easily. And yet, what the word tells us is they're not for us. Because to be joined by Jesus is the best feeling in the world. So why didn't they recognize him? Well, they didn't recognize him because Jesus needed to make the point that he is the one taking action first. But it's better than that when we think about it. The second thing this passage teaches us is that God meets us exactly where we're at. You know, sometimes we think we've got to get our lives in order before we can invite Jesus in. I always think of it as a house cleaning analogy. My wife works as a veterinarian, so I'm the one entrusted with the house cleaning, and I'm not a very good house cleaner. So sometimes when that doorbell rings, and I think, oh my goodness, how many weeks' worth of Amazon boxes do I have in the foyer, or how much dirty clothes? I'm not so inclined to want to open the door. I kind of wonder, maybe if I just don't answer the door, they'll go away, right? When we think about our coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes we think we have to get our lives in order and for Jesus to want to come into our house. But what this passage tells us is that Jesus is coming to us where we're at. Where we're at. And man, am I glad for that. Because it was a number of years ago that I was feeling very hopeless in my life. And it was my mom who called and invited me to church. She had invited me a dozen or more times. In fact, it was a common occurrence for her to call on Saturday and for me to then decline to go on Sunday. But this one time, I was just at the end of my wits and my rope, and I thought, well, at the very least, if I can just go, I'll get Mom off my back, right? And so I went. That I'm sitting here preaching this sermon is probably a good clue that things took, right? It took, all I can say. That event and the church was staggering to me. And I say that because I'm not the only one. You know, we talked about earlier in the service about this Kairos ministry. One of the things I've learned about Kairos ministry is that almost to a man, every person involved has had an experience of hopelessness, some point at which their faith was completely gone or had non-existent. And then that there was some event, some happening in their lives that turned it all around, that changed it just like it changed these men's lives as they encountered Jesus on the road to Emmaus. There are many others that experience that God comes into us, into our lives when it's a mess, even when we're running from him. Who can forget the story of Jonah, in which we're taught about a prophet who's been given a word from God to go and do something, and he says, nah, I'm not going to do it. And he gets on a boat going the exact opposite direction. It's there that God finds him in that ship and arranges a rather squishy transport to the very place that he was going. He should have been going, rather. And so to that end, we remember that Jesus meets us exactly where we're at. God will find us no matter where we go. And it is, of course, the nature of God to do so. We read, and we're going to talk about next week, Jesus as the Good Shepherd. But this week, let me just say this, that we're reminded of the fact that Jesus leaves the flock to go and find the one. And what great good news that is for us. That being confident in control of the destinies and outcomes of all, that Jesus can approach the lost one and grab hold of them, slinging them over his arms and carrying them back. Because the biblical allusion that we're given the most frequently is that you and I are sheep. And that may seem very pastoral and nice until you really recognize what the Bible is trying to tell us about sheep. You see, sheep, they aren't very smart. They're not very bright at all. As a matter of fact, it's a common practice at sheep slaughterhouses to use what's known as a Judas goat. Now, a Judas goat is a goat that's trained to just walk the sheep from their pens to the slaughterhouse floor. And the sheep, well, they just follow. And it's meant to show us that we are very similar. You know, we sometimes are following the herd without much thought, and we find ourselves separated, isolated, and alone. But it's in that isolation and aloneness, in that time of hopelessness and despair, that Jesus Christ's word speaks so powerfully to us, reminding us over and over again of his love, his grace, and his redemptive salvation. We recognize that that this is one of these prophecies that Jesus Christ has fulfilled. In fact, it says in the passage today that Jesus opened the scriptures to the disciples, which means that he started explaining to them and showing them exactly where he was in the pages of the Word. And I wonder where he started. I imagine he started in Genesis 3:15. There we're given the first prophetic utterance about Jesus Christ, that the son of a woman will strike the heel and defeat the serpent being the one that provided sin in the first place. But it's not as though there is a lack of things to be found. There are in the Old Testament no less than 327 prophecies about Jesus Christ, prophecies that Jesus Christ himself fulfilled, which means that our Savior, he lives. He lives and he breathes and he changes lives. He steps into people's messes in the midst and he changes things. I read a post from a dear friend. It's a friend I lost touch with several years ago, and she ran into some incredibly hard times. She was is an addict, and she had relapsed and found herself in a desperate spot. She was pregnant and alone and without a penny to her name. She said at that point, she felt hopeless as could be. But then leaving the hospital with a baby and a bunch of diapers and wipes that she says she couldn't have afforded, that they gave them to her out of the kindness of their charity and their hearts. But she gave them to them for a reason and for a purpose. And she was able to secure a place to live at a mission. And there with her little baby, COVID hit in 2019 and 2020, and she was all alone. But she said she was able to make a space in her room for where her Bible, she was given a Bible, a King James version from the ministry and the mission that was working with her. And she said there was nothing to do but blank time, care for a baby and blank time. It was there that she began reading the Word, there that she began feeling those feelings of hope reemerge in her lives. Just a couple of posts ago, before she talked about all that had gone on, she was reporting that she and her fiancé were able to buy a house and to find a new place for them and for their young child, their young son. Jesus will come into the mess and the turmoil and the ugliness of life, will come in where we're hopeless and without much of seeing of the light of the tunnel, and he will change us and make us his yet again. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We come now to a time of prayer, having heard the word read and proclaimed. So let's pray to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for this time together. We thank you for the many families that have joined us today. We thank you for the presence of their children, and we look forward with such great joy to hearing them sing momentarily. Heavenly Father, we pray for this world, for this society, and for this community. We do so believing that you not only hear our prayers, but that you do indeed respond to them as well. So we pray for those on Cook's prayer list, naming this morning Annie Lucky, Betsy Boone, Paige Benson. We pray for members that are grieving over the recent loss of a loved one. We pray for Jill Griffin, And we pray for all others in need of our intercessory prayers. We make all these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom. And we make them all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray in this fashion. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. That's my mistake. I should have told y'all we're debtors and not trespassers. We now will look forward to the kids singing. And now, with full and grateful hearts, we turn our attention to the giving of our tithes and offerings, remembering that God loves a cheerful giver.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you that you're a provident God, that you provide all that we need. Now, as we return a portion of these blessings back to you, we pray that you would use it to bring about your ends in this, your world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We've got donuts and coffee for you guys out on the front lawn, so please stick around and join us. And thank you again for bringing your kids to join us and lead us in worship. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen.
I've been